This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Back to the cutting room floor. I'm Alex.
And I'm Eric.
And guest starring me, I'm Elisa.
Cool. And today we're going to talk about Spider-Man 2.
Awesome. So here's the synopsis. Spider-Man 2 was released in 2004, and when a failed nuclear fusion experiment results in an explosion that kills his wife, Dr. Otto Octavius is transformed into Dr. Octopus, a cyborg with deadly metal tentacles. Dr. Octopus blames Spider-Man for the accident and seeks revenge. Meanwhile, Peter Parker faces fading powers and self-doubt. Complicating matters are his best friend's Harry Osborn's hatred for Spider-Man, and his true love Mary Jane's sudden engagement to another man.
Bum, bum, bum! This one is one I have a hard time with. Like, I've never liked this movie. I don't know why. I do know why. I don't like Dr. Octopus. That's why. it's just, I just have never found him, like, in the cartoons or the comics, I just never found him a compelling villain. And it's hard for me because there's a lot of ways where this is, like, a technically superior film, but I just didn't Spider-Man 1. But
yeah, a lot of people consider this the best of the trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man 2, a.k.a. 2004's Avengers for everybody in the world except for me and Alex.
Right.
Because I didn't see this movie when it came
out. Yeah, me either.
And so everyone's like, you gotta see this movie! Mm-hmm. So I finally sat down and watched it. I was entertained, but I'm like, people think this is the best comic movie ever? X-Men 2 is still a better movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But,
man, we gotta talk about those movies.
Yes, we do.
But that movie, I remember watching that movie. Sorry, this is a total side tangent. But that movie, like, clipped by. I was like, it's over? What?
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed Spider-Man 2.
It's not like it's a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination. I know exactly why I don't like it, and it's just hard.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
Well, it's funny. Eric and I watched synopses for the trilogy, watching Spider-Man 2. I'm like, oh, J. Jonah Jameson's son exists.
Right. Yeah. There's a few things that are, like, out of, like, left field with this movie that are just like, okay, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure we'll get to it. But, like Mary Jane dating him and then her engagement, like, that came out of nowhere.
It was all to cause internal emotional turmoil in Peter Parker's life.
Yeah.
Could have been done so many different ways.
It's true.
I mean, yeah. I did like the movie. I liked different aspects of the movie. I don't think it was the best of the trilogy. Unlike you, like... So there's the Otto Octavius from the comics, the Doc Ock from the comics, and the Doc Ock from the movie. And they're two very different creatures.
Right.
I do like this one more in a single movie, anyway.
Right.
Because there are so many Spider-Man supervillains that arise because in lots of Spider-Man comics, these supervillains come about because they work for, like, different companies, unnamed companies. That only appear in that issue. And it's like, head of company, you're fired. The person, I don't like that. I'm going to become a supervillain.
Right.
And so Otto Octavius becomes Doc Ock.
Right.
Because of that. And he actually isn't fused to his arms in a couple of issues. He actually sends the arms on separate missions.
The fusion is more of like, that's Ultimate Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Like, because that happens. It's pretty gruesome, too, when it does happen. But yeah, like, them being fused to him is an Ultimate comics thing.
But, so I liked this one because it gave him, like, a descent into madness. Kind of like with the Green Goblin. It gave him a descent into madness and an inner turmoil that wasn't really there in the comics. Right. In the comics, it's like, hey, I like being a supervillain. Let's just continue and become the best supervillain ever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just for me, like, whether it's, like, regular comics universe or Ultimate or the cartoon, like, I've just, for some reason, I can totally recognize it's my own prejudice going into the movie. Like, I've just never cared for the character, so it's kind of like, really? Mm-hmm. All right, let's watch this thing, you know? Like,
I should have gone with Mysterio.
Mysterio would actually be a really interesting thing, although... Like, Amazing Spider-Man, they're like, why are they going with the smaller villains?
Right.
And it's like, because we want to build up, and then, you know, Sony just tanked with Spider-Man stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, though, Mysterio, like, could, like, with the way effects are now, like, he could be, like, a really compelling, just, like, mind trip of a villain. Like, I think, like, a really good movie could take Mysterio and, like, elevate him to, like, that, not maybe A-list of, like, Green Goblin, but, like, A-minus, you know, level, where it's just, like... Yeah, this guy is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
With his fishbowl head. Should we dive into pros?
Yeah.
Sure.
Cool. Sorry, just to kick off here. I really, really... I forgot about the opening credits. Like, their paintings depicting the first film, to kind of catch you up on it. And they're done by Alex Ross, and he's, like, a renowned comic artist, and they're... gorgeous. I completely forgot about that, and like turning the movie on, I was like, this is a cool treat, like having forgot about it, just to see that them doing that way of a recap was really cool.
Pros for me, I liked Doc Ock, and I think it continues the story. I get why they do this, but the whole hero loses their powers because they want to be their alter ego instead trope. Right. Batman Forever does this exact same thing.
This is better than Batman
Forever. Oh, it is. It is. It is. But I just... It's
all of a sudden, New York becomes a neon lit... Spider suit has nipples and... No.
Oh, no. No. Yeah.
Take that image away.
Sorry. I'm just imagining Joel Schumacher in the meeting. Here's what we're gonna do. No,
no,
get out. Sorry, Sony CEO, just like J. Jonah Jameson at that point, just like, get out. You're fired. Sorry, that's a fun fantasy though.
But it just seems like I tried to find a list because I swear that trope has been done. In either TV shows or movies, like, it's like, well, they got their powers in the first movie, now let's see what they're like without them.
Right.
They're like, I don't want to... But it does make for some hilarious bits. The raindrops keep falling on my head scene.
Yeah, I love that scene.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's actually one of my pros. Even though it's like, why in the world did we have Peter Parker lose his powers... It's a fun little happy-go-lucky scene.
Yeah, it's true.
I thought the train scene was great. Well,
I have problems.
I'm going off of memory.
Right.
It was a fun. It was a fun mid-fight.
No, the train scene is great. There's a problem I have with it later, though.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, the sequence itself is actually really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Really well done.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's all I have.
Let's see, my pros. I mentioned Otto Octavius already, Doc Ock. His mental fight with the semi-sentient arms, that I think was well done. His desire to, like, the arms' desire, and therefore his desire to build the nuclear fusion reactor. Well, not nuclear, but whatever.
Yeah.
the I'll call it an unobtainium because I can't remember what it is. The made
Tritium
up
or whatever.
Yeah, the made up element for the sake of the movie.
Precious tritium.
I think, like, it just shows because you saw that bit of him before his his mind was taken over by the arms, basically. And you see that, yeah, he had ambitions, but it was to help everybody. And right. whereas afterwards, it was more to prove that I am right.
Right.
And then there's that line, the power of the sun in the palm of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first time or the second time? I can't remember.
That was the first time. That was like when they first kick up the mm-hmm. reactor. Mm-hmm. And
so you see that power, that awe and want of power is there, but mm-hmm. in his better personality,
right.
it's subdued for the purpose of other people, whereas with the arms, it's for the purpose of, look how awesome I am.
Right. Gotcha.
I like the train sequence. It's kind of a pro and a con for me. It's considered the quintessential scene in the right. Spider-Man, in any Spider-Man movie ever. And so it's like just Spider-Man trying against all odds to save this bunch of people
right.
in this dire situation where if he fails, then I don't know how big those train cars are.
Oh, they're obviously, pretty big, yeah.
Yeah, where hundreds of people could die.
Right.
And so you see his, like, Toby's expression on like, his face when they take off his mask so that you can actually see his facial expression. Like, his desperation and his physical, like, trying to hold back the train against all the different buildings and just trying that you don't see that very often
right.
in comic book movies. But I don't think, like, for a con, I think it's over, like, I think it's unfair to compare each Spidey web slinging to save things mm-hmm. to this scene.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, it's not as good as the train scene, or it's trying to copy the train scene. It's like, well, what do you want him to do?
right.
So that is one slight con, that because it is such a good scene, everybody compares every right. other Spider-Man saving people scene to that. Oh, and another pro is there's a Professor Connor cameo
yeah.
being his professor. So it sets up for the Lizard Man.
Right, so he's not in one, though, is he?
No, because he's not in college yet.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe they mentioned him at the very
They
least,
might
but
have, but I can't remember.
They might have mentioned him, okay.
But when I'm like, hey, he has one arm!
yeah.
Wait, that's him! That's him!
that's funny.
So, yeah, we never got to see it in Sam Raimi world, but...
Right. I think there were plans, but mm-hmm. we can get that
yeah.
a little bit.
And my final pro was the Chinese lady singing the Spider-Web.
That was pretty funny.
I mean, it's so full of, like, stereotypes, but it's hilarious at the same time.
Right. Yeah, it really does have a lot of stereotypes. yeah, there were certain things in these movies, like, oh, that wouldn't fly now.
Yeah.
15 years later, no.
Yeah.
No. Not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that Ock's birth, like, was pretty cool, where, like, mm-hmm. the tentacles, like...
Mm.
Like, while he's unconscious, they, like, take out the whole surgical team.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's immediately countered by him realizing what happens and going, no! like,
and
oh.
don't the arms scream?
Yes! That was a con,
they have
yeah.
vocal cords.
yeah, they hiss and stuff. I'm like, nope, just nope. No. We did talk about how J.K. Simmons is awesome. I think he, like, just takes it and, like, just goes even further with this movie, and I loved it.
Yeah.
So they do, with the trope that you mentioned of him, like, losing his powers, they do some recreation from Amazing Spider-Man 50, which is where that came from.
With the suit in
suit
the trash.
In the garbage can,
yeah.
yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool how, they did the visual
mm-hmm.
recreation, or, like, the motion recreation of that in the movie. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do like, you kind of see Harry... descend into depression and alcoholism mm. and everything mm-hmm. in this movie, and I think that, like, in Iron Man 2, right, all of a sudden Tony's like an alcoholic and mm. you're like, where did this come from, you know, like, they didn't,
if you don't know about the comics, it's like, yeah, this came out of left field,
right? I mean, like, yeah, I can totally see that Tony hits the bottle hard as, like, a partier,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like the depression and everything mm-hmm. is like, this is really out of nowhere. I think that with Harry here, it's, like, earned. Like, you, mm-hmm. you don't question it. Like,
mm-hmm.
his dad's dead, and his big venture just went down the tank. Like, I can, it just feels earned with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also like that, like, he has, like, a proverbial deal with the devil with mm-hmm. Otto, and I think that that was earned as well. It didn't feel like, I don't see him doing that. Mm-hmm. So, but, yeah, those were my pros for the movie. Should we jump into cons?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just gonna jump in. Mine might be harsher, so I'll just get him out of the way. So I thought when Otto revealed his mechanical arms, like, the people there were, like, surprisingly nonchalant. They're like, cool. Like, no, that's amazing!
I will fund you forever!
Right? He had, like, artificial intelligence in these things. They respond, and you're just like, okay, show us what else you got, you know? Like,
we came here to see a fusion reaction. Right. Not some dinky little spider arms. Oh. Not spider.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, what? Everybody's just like, cool, alright, what next? I was like, okay, that was weird. I never liked the flashback, but where Ben comes back as, like, Peter's conscience.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like, we gotta have Cliff Robertson in here. This is how we do it, you know? Like, it just, I don't know, it took me out of the movie, because it's like, he's sitting on the bed, and then it's, like, in his mind with Ben. I think the point of reference I had to counter that was, like, Bruce's hallucination with Ra's al Ghul in Dark Knight Rises. Just, mm-hmm. He's been, like, tortured, and his back is broken, and it's, like, he's totally in, like, a hallucinogenic state at that point, and mm-hmm. having somebody like that come back feels earned at that
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
This just feels like...
Well, we can't have inner narration.
Right, yeah. So it's just, it just felt really weird. It didn't seem like that would be something Peter would just imagine, or you know. Or if he was, like, drugged at some point, like, I could buy it, but he's just chilling on his bed. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work for me.
mm-hmm.
Like you had mentioned earlier, Elisa, you mentioned that, like, Peter cares for his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like, that makes, like, when Green Goblin or Venom goes after May or Mary Jane or whatever, like, that makes it. And I mean Venom in the comics. Let's get that clear.
He didn't go after
Venom. Yeah, no. But, like, when they go after Peter's family, it's because
mm-hmm.
they're malicious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just going for, like, the deepest cut you can go for.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Otto takes May here, mm-hmm. it's just total happenstance.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it just feels kind of like, we got to give Peter some more motivation, so May's the one. He would have gone after anybody. Like, it doesn't matter. Also, there's no way that this elderly version of Aunt May doesn't have 3 heart attacks during that sequence. There's no way. She's dead. I'm just like, she's got thrown up in the air and then fall. Like, she's gone. Like, I don't care how you cut it. So Peter's loss of power is totally psychosomatic, and it just never worked for me. It just felt like, oh, so now the little weird hairs out of your hand stop working? That I don't know.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about the fight. The thing that bothers me is that these movies have, like, cultivated an obsession with, like, Peter having to have his mask off.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, this was kind of, like, the kickoff. Like, it made sense in Spider-Man 1, where, like, his mask gets blown apart.
To pieces, yeah.
Like, but here it's just like, okay, you've got to have his mask off so we can see him emote, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just continues in each movie that it kind of bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't buy that hundreds of New Yorkers are like, no, we're going to keep your secret safe. Like, sorry,
dude,
but...
Let's go sell to the Daily Bugle right now.
Yeah, and I don't mean, like, New Yorkers would sell him out, but you know that there's, like, at least one person there that would be like, I can make some cash off this. You know that there's one person that would do that. So,
mm-hmm.
Harry finding his dad's goblin gear is really cool,
mm-hmm.
but it also doesn't make sense how, like, he hears the goblin laugh.
Oh, and then like, sees him in the mirror.
Father?
Exactly.
yeah. Like, that just doesn't, it just doesn't work. Like, him hearing the laugh and be like, who's there? Like, that just doesn't work
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the runaway bride sequence is cheesy. Like, I like how the scene ends with her, like, being like, go get him, you know? But, like, I'm just like, oh. Like, her, like, running through the park,
smiling.
I'm like, come on. That just, didn't work, so.
Yeah.
And now I'm done slamming this movie.
So, my cons. Mary Jane's in trouble. We must rescue her.
Right.
It's almost like the way that they've built up Spider-Man. If MJ wasn't in trouble, then he wouldn't go and save the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there were issues in the comics where he's like, I have to go and save my family because they found out who I am and they're holding them hostage
right.
in order to get to me. Whereas it was like, Otto took MJ because Peter Parker knows Spider-Man, and therefore Peter Parker will go to Spider-Man. And it's like, he's just a photographer. He happens to be in the same place as Spider-Man a lot.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of MJ love triangles, it's every single right. movie. Right. There's a love triangle or two. And it's just like, yeah.
That was one of the things, too. I'm like, man, how hard is Peter going to get crapped on in here? Yeah. Like, everything is... And I know he's, like, part of this thing is he's down on his luck, but it's like, good grief, give the guy a break.
Yeah. The also, like, the fusion science. I mean, obviously, there's the made-up elements. It must create an electromagnetic pull because everything metal is pulling right. towards there, and I'm trying to remember if they explained that in the movie or not, and I can't remember if they do.
He says that at some point, like, it creates it, and then it grows big enough for something that the pull goes away. So it has to reach, like, a certain point, and then the effect is gone. It's like okay. It's like a side effect, like a temporary side effect.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's an electromagnetic pull, but Otto's arms... Doc's arms, which are completely metal. I mean, unless there's some sort of carbon fiber that's shiny or something.
If that's the case, they never mentioned it. So that's a huge glaring hole in that logic that they didn't plan out, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's drown it in the river. Well, as soon as it touches that water, you're going to get a massive vaporization effect that's right. going to create basically a steam explosion that is going to kill not only Doc Ock, but also Spider-Man and Mary Jane and anybody within, I don't know how close, it's an abandoned
right.
warehouse.
Right.
But, so, sketchy science is interesting. I mean, obviously, all comic books have sketchy right. science, but that one, it's like, yes, it's made of fire. Let's put it in the water. That will solve all our problems.
Back on that death scene.
Uh-huh.
When he's underwater, drowning,
mm-hmm.
that's completely CGI. Oh,
that was wow. a CGI Alfred Molina?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was, like, a CGI Alfred Molina.
If that's the case, that was a pretty convincing one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like, we have to get this CGI.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, me neither.
That's interesting.
Cool. Uh-huh. I guess that's a pro, then.
Yeah, yeah. If that's the case, then that was CG. Like, that was a pretty good-looking CG.
I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah. Right.
As I mentioned earlier, everyone's like, this movie is the best thing in the world! And I was entertained by it when I saw it eventually, right. but I was just like, okay, whatever.
Right. It's not Avatar.
Don't ever mention that again.
If I ever hear that movie's name again, I will burn Utica to the ground.
They had a lot of missed opportunities. They totally could have set up Venom in this movie. J. Jonah Jameson's son is an astronaut. They could have seriously had him go up into space.
Right.
They're trying to come back down. They have to crash land. Spider-Man has to save his son.
Right.
Save mm-hmm. Jameson's son. And lo and behold, hey, there's the symbiote.
Right. Like, that would have been interesting.
That would have been an interesting setup.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nitpick, and I mostly understood this because of CinemaSins. But if Doc Ock needs Peter to find out where Spider-Man is, why does he throw a car at him? Yeah, it...
I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. You know what'll get this kid's attention? 2,000 pounds of metal lunging at his head.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It's
oh just... my gosh.
Like,
oh, you yeah. know what's funny too? Sorry to jump yeah. on the bandwagon yeah. there, but they also repeated that's what Norman says when he says he's gonna, like, he's like, I'm gonna peel the flesh off Mary Jane. And then Ock says the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't get me Spider-Man, I'm gonna peel the flesh off her. I'm like, my gosh! Yeah. Like, you guys should have read the script for the last one. You said the exact same thing. Yeah, and then chink chink, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh I completely forgot about the claws like making noises until I watched it, and immediately I'm like, nope, no, 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 no.
I can't remember in the third one, but I know definitely in this one. I mean, I guess it goes descending into his madness, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's just like, oh no, we need to get money. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not a criminal. Like, right. Okay, fine. Hey, Norman, let's gas you. Right. Oh no, what have I done? What have you done? You know what you did, Norman. You know, and it's like, it's just like,
Sorry, go ahead.
You know, it's just so weird. Just the whole like, we're in control now. Right. You know, like, but I get why they do it. But it's right. Just kind of funny. I think.
But it's like, what are the claws gonna say to him? Like, his wife is dead. There's no motivation there. What are they gonna do? Rob the bank or we'll kill you. Okay, like, what are you gonna do then? You know, like, what
are they saying? Use your dead body and right. We'll just crawl around. That'd actually be creepy.
It would be pretty creepy. What? But yeah, it's like, what do they say to him? Like, actually, it would be funny to see if there's a version of the movie with, like, the claws subtitled, you know? I need to research that now. Oh man, that would be great though. Yeah. So much I cry.
that's all I have for cards.
Oh, that's the yeah, okay. Oh gosh. Okay. Final thoughts.
Okay, so let's see. So here, I'll do my final thoughts. So the okay.
Go ahead.
Steal yourself. All right. So
let's put a pause.
Drink some water. I'm a sucker. Sure.
Thank you.
Oh gosh. All right. So my last thoughts. I just have some random thoughts because this. Kind of draws material from one of my favorite parts of the classic Amazing Spider-Man comics. And it's been done several different times in different iterations. And so there's a version in this Spider-Man 2, there's a version in Spider-Man Homecoming, and there's a version in the Spectacular Spider-Man comics. So... And Amazing Spider-Man issues 32 and 33, Man on a Rampage, and the final chapter, Aunt May is dying.
Mm-hmm.
She's got radiation poisoning from a blood transfusion that Peter gave her in an earlier issue.
Okay.
And so he is just going on a rampage. Well, no, sorry. Before he goes on a rampage, he goes to Professor Connors to get a serum made to cure her. Of the radiation sickness, and then somebody steals the serum.
Okay.
And so he goes on a rampage trying to find out where in the world this serum is, and it turns out that the master planner, who we don't know who he is at this point, has taken it, and his lair is in this underwater structure.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes there, and surprise, surprise, the master planner is Doc Ock. And in the ensuing fight, Doc Ock flees, but drops the serum, but then Spider-Man is trapped under a pile of rubble, and the lair is flooding.
Okay.
And he has to lift it off of him in order to save Aunt May, because otherwise she's going to die, and it's this whole internal struggle within himself. I'm not strong enough. I can't let Aunt May die, or I will never forgive myself, just like I can't forgive myself for Uncle Ben's mm-hmm. death. And it's this whole internal struggle. It goes on. And he eventually, it's only by stealing his resolve and thinking about Aunt May, that he is able to get up the strength to push the steel beam off of him, grab the serum, and escape. So in Spider-Man 2, it's actually the most disappointing of the versions. Mm-hmm. Spidey is strapped under a steel beam because MJ was about to get squashed.
Right.
And the bottom of the pillar is torn away by the force of the fusion reaction, and Spidey uses the momentum to pivot the beam over him and off. So no resolve is necessary. He just uses...
It just happens.
It just happens. In Spider-Man Homecoming, Spidey is trapped after the Vulture collapses the building. He has to build up resolve and push it off of him. And that is actually a pretty awesome scene in Spider-Man Homecoming. It's more true to the comics, but there's no loved one in danger aspect. And in Spectacular Spider-Man, Spidey's friends are trapped there with him, and they will all drown if he is unable to push the beam off of him. This, while not exactly what happened in the comics, is true to the spirit of the comics, and showing how much of Spider-Man's internal motivation comes from his love of his friends and family. So, my thought on that scene is it could have been so much better.
Right, yeah.
But when I first watched it, I hadn't read the comics yet, so I was like, awesome! He saved MJ!
Right.
But I think it's an overall good movie. It took many different liberal views of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different changes compared to the comics that actually got a lot of people frustrated. It was a pretty decent movie overall. Not my favorite Spider-Man movie, but a solid movie in the Sam Raimi trilogy.
It was better than I remembered, that was for sure. Still don't particularly like... I guess I could say I went from being like, boo, to... like I'm more indifferent toward it now, especially after watching the one that came after it.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was a fun movie, but it was not... It's not the greatest comic movie ever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even today you still hear like people be like, oh man, Spider-Man 2, that's like upper echelon of comic book movies. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Guess. Weirdos. Yeah, next time we're talking about Spider-Man 3. Oh man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.